Part 1. Vincent Coogan pulled at his thin lower lip as he stared at the image of his home planet growing larger in the starship's viewscreen. What kind of an emergency would make Patterson call me off a library collection trip? He muttered. The chief navigator turned toward Coogan, noted the down-drooping angles on the library official's face. Did you say something, sir? Huh? Coogan realized he had been speaking his thoughts aloud. He drew in a deep breath, squared his stringy frame in front of the viewscreen, said, It's good to get back to the library. Always good to be home, said the navigator. He turned toward the planet in the screen. It was a garden world of rolling plains turning beneath an old sun. Pleasure craft glided across shallow seas. Villages of flat, chalk-white houses clustered around elevator towers which plumbed the interior. Slow streams meandered across the plains. Giant butterflies fluttered among trees and flowers. People walked while reading books or reclined with scan-all viewers hung in front of their eyes. The starship throbbed as its landing auxiliaries were activated. Coogan felt the power through his feet. Suddenly, he sensed the homecoming feeling in his chest, an anticipating that brought senses to new alertness. It was enough to erase the worry over his callback, to banish his displeasure and the year of work he had abandoned uncompleted. It was enough to take the bitterness out of his thoughts when he recalled the words someone on an outworld had etched beside the starship's main port. The words had been cut deeply beneath the winged boot emblem of the Galactic Library, probably with a Guernsey flame chisel. Go home, dirty pack rats. The dirty pack rats were home. Director Caldwell Patterson of the Galactic Library sat at the desk in his office deep in the planet, a sheet of metallic paper in his hands. He was an old man even by 81st century standards, when geriatrics made 600 years a commonplace. Some said he had been at the library that long. Gray hair clung in molting wisps to a pale pate. His face had the leathery, hook-nosed appearance of an ancient bird. As Coogan entered the office, a desk visor in front of Patterson chimed. The director clicked a switch, motioned Coogan to a chair and said, Yes, with a tired, resigned air. Coogan folded his tall frame into the chair and listened with half his mind to the conversation on the visor. It seemed some outworld ship was approaching and wanted special landing facilities. Coogan looked around the familiar office. Behind the director was a wall of panels, dials, switches, rheostats, speakers, microphones, oscillographs, code keys, screens. The two side walls were focus rhomboids for realized images. The wall which was split by the door held 8 miniature view screens all tuned to separate channels of the library information broadcasts. All sound switches had been turned to mute, leaving a continuous low murmur in the room. Patterson began drumming his fingers on the desktop, glaring at the desk visor. Presently, he said, Well, tell them we have no facilities for an honor reception. This planet is devoted to knowledge and research. Tell them to come in at the regular field. I'll obey my code and any government order of which I'm capable, but we simply don't have the facilities for what they're asking. The director cut the switch on his visor, turned to Coogan. Well, Vincent, I see you avoided the Hesperides green rot. Now I presume you're anxious to learn why I called you back from there. Same old didactic, pompous humbug, thought Coogan. He said, I'm not exactly a robot, and shaped his mouth in a brief, wry smile. A frown formed on Patterson's bluish lips. We've a new government, he said. Is that why you called me in? Asked Coogan. He felt an upsurge of all the resentment he'd swallowed when he'd received the callback message.
In a way,